Perek Nun Dalet. Perek Nun Dalet, Pasuk Hey. We are continuing our description of what will occur in the time of Mashiach. And we mentioned in the previous Pesukim that Yerushalayim will expand. Yerushalayim is called here in these Pesukim an Ohel. It's compared to a tent. The tent will expand. The material will have to be stretched. The pegs will have to be strengthened. The ropes will have to be enlarged in order to accommodate the kibbutz goliyos. And at this point in time, we're going to break forth to the right and to the left. At this point in time, we're not going to be afraid. We'll no longer be terrorized. That's really what it says. That's the greatest fear today in Eretz Yisrael, terror. And it says here in Pasuk Dalet, do not worry. Al tiri, ki lo sivoshi. Do not be afraid. You will not be embarrassed. Different expressions of, we discussed yesterday, this different expressions of fear will no longer come upon us, no longer any sense of shame. And the last expression was the cherpas al menusayich, which we interpreted to mean no longer will you have the shame of a lack of strong leadership. A nation that does not have a king, does not have a leader, is called an almona. And we will no longer suffer from that fate. We will once again have a melech, malchus of Dov will be restored. And the larger picture of things will be restored with the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the melech, malchei hamlochim. Pasekei ki v'alayich o'esayich. V'alayich means your master. Who is the master? Of course, refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. O'sayich, he is your creator. He does everything on your behalf. Who is he? Hashem Tzivakos Shemo. Hashem Tzivakos is his name. We've mentioned many times, whenever we have the name Hashem Tzivakos, that refers to Hashem in his role as a general, as a warrior, as a person who leads battle. Kadosh Baruch Hu will lead the battles of Goy Gomorrah in the time of Mashiach. Uge Uvi Go Aleich, and your Redeemer, who will redeem us? That is none other than the Kadosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Yisrael, who is Elokei Chol Aretz Yikarei. He will be called the God of the entire earth. He will be called. So it's very, you know, this pasuk seems very simple, very innocent, but there are really major things taking place in this pasuk describing Kadosh Baruch Hu at the time of Mashiach. Number one, Hashem is going to lead the war. It's going to be some major war which we have no understanding what this means, Gog Magog. Hashem is going to be our Redeemer. That means we're going to be in trouble. We need to be redeemed. And Hashem is called the Holy of Yisrael, which means there's going to be a recognition that it's a certain Kedusha. It's not just a secular state. And then Hashem will be recognized as the God, not just of the Jews, but the God of the entire world. Pasuk Vav Ki Chisha Zuva. Now we have a new mashal. That Klal Yisrael is compared to a woman that's been abandoned. If a husband, especially if a husband abandons his wife, so it's common for a husband to take back his wife. It's more common than not. Ki chiisha azuva, like a woman who has been abandoned by her husband. Va'atzuvas ruach, a woman that is sad. She is in a state of depression because her husband has abandoned her. Kiruach Hashem, Hashem has called you. And just like it's common in these types of situations for the husband to take back the wife that has been abandoned, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take back Klal Yisrael as a nation at this time. The Eishes Nu'urim Ki Si Mo'es. The woman that a man marries when he's young, that is a relationship that can never be severed. And even if there is a fight where this woman is despised, Simo Ace, the husband comes to hate her, the derech is, after time passes, the husband cools off, he cools down, and he will take back his wife, because that is who he is attached to. Because this is the Eshes Ne'urim, the wife of his youth. The Eshes Ne'urim Ki Simo Ace, which here means even though the wife of the youth has been hated, has been despised, the derech is, the husband takes back such a wife. Omar Elokoyach, so says Hashem about... Klal Yisrael is the wife, Klal Hashem is the husband. That's
the Gidudim. No, I understand the Nimshal. What's the Moshal? Eshet Ne'urim, the first wife, the second
wife? No, the only wife.
The only one?
The only one.
So you shouldn't say Ne'urim.
No, but it means that if a man first gets married later in life,
yeah,
and the only one wife never gets married until much later. I think the battery, Dr. Freeman.
Yeah.
What? No, it's hissing because the light's out. You hear the little sun hiss?
I guess because I got old.
Eishes Nulim. If a man would get, let's say, a man that marries much later in life, and he only marries one wife, and he has a fight with her. It's very likely he'll get divorced. He'll never take her back. But if a man marries a woman when he's very young, so the mitzvah is a woman that he is attached to in his youth. No matter what happens, he will always come back to her. Let's see the mitzvah that's David. He explains this idea. Pasuk Vav. Hashem has called to you, the Jewish people, to return, like a woman that's been abandoned from her husband. The husband rejects his wife. She's depressed. Why is she depressed? Her husband calls her to return. Even if she is disgusting, be'enei in the eyes of Bala, hine loy tasmid hanius. What?
Yasmid.
Oh, you have yasmid? I have the tough.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of she in the spice. Hanius ki yoshev yirachim, because he will come. He will renew his pity. He will take her back. Now, there's obviously repetition in this passage because there are two different types of wives. We're comparing Klal Yisrael. Thank you very much. We're comparing Klal Yisrael, the two different types of wives. First, the wife of an isha azuva ve'atzuvas ruach. Omar Hashem and the Nochmal the Eishes Nu'urim. So there are two. So obviously there's a mile of both. There is an Isha. I don't know the difference. There's an Isha Azuva Vatsuva Suruch. That's one type of wife which has been abandoned and she's sad. Maybe being that she's.
Isha Azuva applies to even older,
he gets married later in life. You don't have that.
Abandoned.
You don't have that chiba from the Urim.
Right.
And then it's only going to work, he'll only take her back if she's at Suvas Ruach, if there's something still there. And then you have the Maila of the Ish Eshes Nu'urim, and there, that love is so great, deep down, even if now there is a hatred because of some problem, there's a problem, but that's only going to be temporary, because Kisimus Omar Elokech, Pasuk Zayin, Berega Koton Azavtich, Uverachamim Gedolim Akabitzech. Now, what does, when Hashem says, in relative to the amount of time that I was angry with you, that will only be very, very a small period of time relative to the long period of time that Klal Yisrael will enjoy Yemos HaMashiach and Kibbutz Golios. So we have Berega Koton for a small moment. A rag as a second, katon a small second, azavtich, I have abandoned you, but uverachamim gidolim akabtzech, I will gather you in with great mercy, the period of time when you will be restored, you will be close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and will be obeyed Hamigdash, and will be the ultimate gula, will be with rachamim gidolim, will be with great mercy. Okay, pasuk ches, b'shet, yeah.
They have katon and gidolim in opposition.
Yes. Koton, yes. The abandonment has been only Koton, and the ingathering will be Gidolim. Correct. Pasuk Ches, B'shetzef Ketzef. Now, what does it mean, B'shetzef? So Rashi presents two interpretations. Either it means a small amount. This Pasuk parallels the previous Pasuk of Koton. And Ketzef, there's no disagreement, means anger. Hashem was angry with Klal Yisrael. For how long? B'shetzef. Just a small amount of anger. Histarti fonai rega mimech, and then the pasuk repeats itself, as is very common. And I have concealed my face from the Jewish people just for a moment, mimech. But uvechesed olam richamtich, with an everlasting degree of mercy, with kindness, I will have compassion upon you. Omar goelech, so says your Redeemer HaHashem. So that is one interpretation. There's another interpretation. Shetzef also means anger. It's two forms of anger. And that means it's an intensified. It's an intense intensification of anger. B'shetzef ketzef, with a fury, a very harsh, it's just the opposite in this interpretation, with a very harsh degree of anger. Histarti fonai Fonai, I have concealed my face, rega mimech, for only a moment. It's true. It's been with great intensity, but it's only been for a rega, for a small amount of time relative to the much bigger picture of time of Yimos HaMashiach. Uvechesed olam, with an everlasting kindness, Richamticha, I've had compassion upon you. Omar, so says Goyalech, your Redeemer Hashem. Pasik test. Now here's the reason why we're laying this Haftorah on Parashas Noach. Ki me noyach zosli, this anger that I have expressed to my people will be no different than the waters of Noach. Just like Hashem destroyed the world, Hashem was angry with Adam and all of the people living at that point in time. Ki hishchis kol basar darkei ha'aretz, and Hashem destroyed the world, and then Hashem made a shvuah that He'll never again destroy the world. So to the galus of Edom, the last of the four galios, versus Babel, Paras Hamadai, Yavon, Edom, that's the end. I swear that I will never get angry at my Jewish people, and when I bring the third geula, this will be the geula that will be forever, and there will never be another cycle of chubur. You learn in Sefer Shmuel. One thing which comes out in Shoftim and Shmuel, really more in Shoftim, is the cycle. Is the Klal Yisrael, they sin, Hashem punishes them by causing the Canaanim, causing all the different nations to wage war against the Jewish people, and they suffer great losses. They do tshuva, and then they reach a very high level of kedusha, and then by yishmun, yishurun, vayivat, the cycle repeats. It goes down, and there's churban, then there's geula, churban, geula. The cycle repeats itself over and over and over again. People worry, even like now, like Sima Shas. It has to be. Shouldn't Chas V'Sholom go to get less? It should go in the other direction. In history, we're just looking at a little slice of time over 50 years. Over the last 50 years, it's unbelievable how everything has been going in one direction, more and more ribui of Torah. But if you look in the history of the world, there's always been ups and downs, and these ups and downs are not defined in terms of 50 years of time, it's defined in terms of hundreds of years of time, so 100, 200 years. But we have a tradition that this is the end, and it's mamash what it says over in this passage, that it's Me'noyach, this Golus of Edom, this last 1,946 years, is the end. And when Mashiach comes, it will never ever happen a time when we will be backsliding to go back in.
So the Shavuot is from when Mashiach comes.
Yes, when Mashiach comes. Correct, when Mashiach comes. And it's interesting, I was listening to a tape and preparing for Tishba. I was listening to a tape by Rabbi J.J. Schachter, Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter from Yeshiva University. So he has some very fascinating shiurim, and he writes a lot. He was comparing the writings of Rav Kook to, I don't remember, to other Gedolei Yisrael. And his whole theme was very long shiur. His whole theme was, they all write, they're writing, of course, Rav Kook is writing before the Medina, is writing during the time when things were happening, and it was very clear they would want to be a state of Israel, Yishuv and Eretz Yisrael, and he writes over and over, this is it. It's never going to happen that there's going to be a Churban again. After the Holocaust, and after and what was happening during that, I mean, he died before. When did he die, Rav Kook? He died
after the war.
There was Rav Herzog, so he also writes about Rav Herzog, also the sending of Herzog, but he was writing how what's happening, the movement in this world for Klal Yisrael, as they are ascending, it's never going to happen that they're going to backslide and go back to a matzah where there'll be churban. It's the end. We're here, Yimos HaMashiach, and it's exactly what it says in this pasuk: Ki mei noyach zosli, that the geula that will come, the churban, the galus of Edom, with the geula will be just like Mei Noyach, just like Hashem promised Snoshua, He'll never destroy the world again. Hashem is swearing He will never get angry at the Jewish people and cause them to suffer again after He brings the geula shleima. Ki Mei Noyach Zosli Asher Nishpati, just like I swore then, Mei Avor, I will no longer allow to pass upon the world Mei Noach Od Al Aretz. Came so too Nishpati, I have made a shvua. Hashem says, Miketzoif Olayich, I will no longer get angry at you. I'll no longer shout shout at you to cause you to be afraid after I bring this the geula shalema. Let's see the words of Rashi. Ki mei noyach zosli shavua biyadi. There is a shvu in my hands. The hoylich mufarish devaro, and the pasuk goes on to explain what exactly is this shvua. Kasher nishvati me'alvor mei noach. Just like I swear I will never bring a korban to the world, I swear that I will never bring a korban, I'll never get angry with Jewish people after I bring the geula of Yemos HaMashiach. And the Mitzvah says exactly the same thing. The Mitzvah's Pasuk test, Ki mei noyach haketzef kach hu li. This anger that I have expressed against Jewish people is kimoy mei noyach. Shoyav yimei noyach, asher nishpati shlo yeh oid mei mabul. I made a shul that will no longer be mei mabul. Kei nishpati so I made a shul that will never get angry at the Jewish people afterwards. Now we have a fascinating pasuk. Ki harim yom. Yeah.
When the first temple was destroyed, they rebuilt the second.
What?
The second time Mikdash was rebuilt after that. Why we are not allowed to
That was the second. The second base Hamikdash was not the Geula Shleima, according to all opinions. According to
maybe
many opinions, no.
The Mashiach is coming soon.
No,
why not?
The Bayis Sheni. Many opinions hold that during the time of the Bayis Sheni, the Gemara they observed Tisha B'Av. They fasted on Tisha B'Av during the 420 years of the Bayis Sheni, because the Bayis Sheni was only there was no luchos, no kruvim. The shul did not rest. It was just a temporary chizuk to prepare us for the long galus of the that we are in now. But the geula shalem of Mashiach is what we're referring to, and when that will come, when Eliyahu Hanavi will come, the mevaser that soon Mashiach is coming, and David HaMelech, the Malchus of David, has been restored, never again will there be anger against the Jewish people. Pasuk Yud Ki Heharim Yamushu. So here it still means, even if Hashem is saying, even if it will happen that mountains will disappear, will be removed, it happens. Sometimes there are earthquakes. Once in every hundred thousand years, mountains just disappear off the face of the earth. The mountains are removed. The Hagavos and the hills, Timutena, the hills are, they falter. The hills, another expression which means they're removed, they fall, they collapse. Even if that will happen, which is like, one in a billion chance, something like that will happen. You have a big, massive mountain, and the mountain will just this Mount Everest will just sink into the ground. It's not going to happen. Even if that will happen, the chazdi, my kindness, may take from you, my Jewish people, lo yomush, will never depart. Uvrish shlomi, and the bris of my peace, lo somut, will never falter. Omar so says, merachamech, the one that has mercy upon you. Who is this one that has mercy upon the Jewish people? It is Hashem. Now there's a beautiful Rashi, which I want to elaborate upon. Rashi here says, Ki Heharim. Let's just first see the Mitzudas. Before we see the Rashi, the Medrash, the Mitzudas, Derech Pshat, Pasig Yud, Mitzudas David, Ki Heharim, Lepa'amim. Sometimes it happens, Yikra, Asher Heharim, Imroiv Choskam, the mountains, despite their awesome might, Yosudu, they disappear. There's an earthquake. There's some type of natural disaster. The atiku mimukaimam, and they are removed from their place. Al yidei rash, an earthquake. The chain hagvos yuntu linpol, they tilt to fall. Baretz, but the chasti aval chasti hudover hamiskayim. My kindness, my promise to the Jewish people is greater than the guarantee the mountains and the hills have in this world. Hamiskayim v'lo yosur meitech v'havtochas brishlemi v'chafal hadover b'mashamar. Poetic repetition of this pasuk. Let's see now Rashi. Rashi says the words mountains and the word mountain hehorim and the word hills gavos is a metaphor for the ovos and the imohos. So ki hehorim af im tichle zuchus ovos the imohos chaste miitech lo yomosh. Even if it will happen that the zuchus ovos and the zuchus imohos will come to an end, and the Jewish people will not have anything to rely on, there will always will be something left. There will be that possibility. It says over here, V'chasti meitech lo yamush. What is my kindness? Uvrish shalaymi. This is a tesis. I don't know where the Gemara is. The Gemara says explicitly in a few places that zuchus avos tama. The zuchus of the avos has come to an end. We learned that in Rashi, in the beginning of Yeshaya, I think in the time of Chizkiyahu. In the time of Chizkiyahu, Hashem says, I'm going to do the miracle l'ma'ani, for my sake. And there, there's Rashi, there's Mikash, from here we learn, I don't remember exactly where it was, but at one point in time, during the time of Yeshayahu, during Chizkiyahu, Mikash, from here we learn, Tomos Chosavos. The Jewish people were no longer deserving of miracles in the merit of their forefathers. What exactly does that mean? I don't know. This is Tosfos. Tosfos, when the Gemara discussed this, the Tosfos says it's true. We no longer bisman hazeh have zuchus avos, but we have bris avos. We have something called the bris of the avos, and that's exactly what it says here in this pasuk. It says even if the mountains. The mountains is a metaphor for the avos, and the hills is a metaphor for the imos. Even if they will falter, they will disappear. But chasti meitech lo yomosh. And the pasuk goes on to define what is my chasti. My chasti is uvris, the treaty shalomi of my peace with the Jewish people. And what's the chilik between zuchus and bris?
Bris a higher level.
No, and it's a contract. It's really? Hashem says, I have it. Zuchus basically means you're following in the way, there are many approaches, but zuchus means you have the same good midos as your forefathers. Your forefathers were moli chesed, moli ava, moli yira shamayim, and you're like them. You're not 100% like them. You don't even come near their toenails, but there's a spark. There's a spark of you, the spark of you, I see in you them, in a smaller degree. That arouses Hashem to have mercy upon us, a full dosage of mercy, as what Hashem would have upon our forefathers, because we're following in their ways. We're not nearly as great as them, but there's something there. When we sink to a level where we don't follow at all in the ways of our forefathers, Hashem is not reminded. We're not doing things which remind Him of our forefathers. So Hashem doesn't want to bring upon us anything special. But Hashem looks at the contract. The contract is there was a bris bein avosarim. There were promises. There were contracts. There were ceremonies, dotted line, signing ceremonies. Ribbon cutting ceremonies. So Hashem says, I have no choice but to honor the contract. But when Hashem honors the contract because he has no choice, he doesn't do it, kaviyachol, with a full heart. He says, oh, okay, I owe you here. Go. It's not with a smile. It's not with excitement. You don't get a sense of simcha. It's just, look, we survived. We got by just by the skin of your teeth. You survived. You don't feel that special simcha and hashkach and warmth that from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's called bris avos. It's not called zuchus avos. So we ask Hashem to bring back. Yes, we say v'zoicher. We don't say zuchus. We say the chaste. Could be it's going back to what it says here. V'chaste mitach lo yamush. And what is it? That's the bris. But it's a fair shul gemara. My chesed from you, lo yamush. And the pasuk goes on to define what is the kindness. Hashem's it's not the chesed of the avos. It's Hashem's kindness. It's Hashem's kindness. The zuchus, the merit of the forefathers, no longer is with us because we're so distant from them. We're so distant from their ways. We don't behave the way that they would have behaved. So Hashem is not going to bestow upon us kindness in their merit. But yet, there's something called bris avos. It's a lower level. It's a lower level of protection in their merit. But it's not the higher level of merit called zuchus. The bris avos is synonymous with the chesed. Hashem says, I will bestow upon you kindness. On my own,
Hashem says,
Hashem is giving us chesed, but he's not giving us chesed in the merit in the zuchus of the avos. He's giving us chesed because Hashem is kind to us, and perhaps because of the avos, but not on a higher level of zuchus avos, on a lower level called bris avos. Which, again, it's very hard to define the difference between the two. But what I want to point out is something. That was Moshe Rabbeinu. That was, yes, correct.
Let me say my question. When Moshe Rabbeinu Hashem asked from the Zechut of Abraham and Yaakov, is going to decrease the Zechutam?
No, there's no such thing as decreasing
Zechutam.
Because
if someone is going to...
No. It doesn't run out. It's infinite. There's no such thing as running out. That took place at the Egel.
The credit that they have is going to be low.
Okay, it's, I don't know the answer. Maybe right. It runs out. You say that it's a credit card and you only have a certain amount of credit. Once the credit runs out, that's it. Maybe. I don't know the answer. It's a very difficult concept. I don't know the answer. You're saying something very good. You're saying a different approach. Is that there's a certain degree, there's a certain measure, and the measure has already been used. It's been used during the time of the Akedah, during the Egel, and other subsequent sins.
But Rashi wrote that down before.
No, right, Rashi doesn't say that. What? Thomas the Chosavos.
They terminated.
So what does it mean to terminate it? It means there's a debit card.
We learned Rashi said it.
There's a measure, and once we use it up, it's over? Is that what it means? That's
no,
too simplistic. That's what he's saying. You're saying is that you have the avos were so good, we have credit for 100 cents. Right? We have 100 cents. So over the generations, we used up a couple of credits, then it came this other, that other, by the time you got to Chizkiyos, so already the credit card, the debit card was depleted, there's nothing left. That, okay, you can say that, but that sounds too simplistic. There's no such thing as you just deduct credit. It's on a deeper level, Zuchus Avos is not a chesaron in them, it's a chesaron in us. Yeah.
Isn't that Yangu Katoti mean call Hakasodim?
Yeah, Shema Yigam Achait. That's a different idea.
But wasn't he also afraid that he would lose up his chusim?
It could be, there's only a certain degree, but it also could mean Shema Yigam Achait. If a person sins, that takes away. There's a very, very famous verse from I think they say this from Rav Chaim Kanievsky, other people, is that you have all these segulas. Okay, we're not into segulas. You're sandik. If you're sandik, it's a school of ashiros. So how come people, and there are all these others, how come that you don't find the big people are sandik, they don't, they're not zechat ashiros, you do all these things. So that's one answer. The ashiros doesn't mean wealth, it means whatever makes you happy. Let's put that aside. Let's stay, because there are people that don't get anything. They are sadik and they're not happy with themselves, and their svarim are not accepting of Yisrael, and they don't have money. They have a lot of problems. So what happened? And there's only one example. So I think of Chaim Kanievsky. He told someone, he says, "Yeah, it's all true. The skulas all work if you don't have any averos to counteract the skula. So if Taka, you're a tzaddik, you're soydolim, right? You're a good guy." Everything is good. You're no serious. Everyone has sins, but there's like no major sins. But your mazel is you're only going to make $75,000 a year. That's just the mazel. That's the way. What?
There's only one problem. Yeah. Because the Navi says, "Bachnuni na bezois."
Yeah, imloy.
So there's always you have an answer.
So no, bachnuni na bezois. That's what Chaim Kanievsky is saying. He's saying.
I hear you, but it's not a test.
If you do,
means to say, you know, that didn't happen because
you did this aveira.
Right.
That's what Chaim Kanievsky says. That's what he says. Because if you do everything good, and the mazel is only to make $75,000, that's the way it was meant to be when you came to this world, and now you're a sandik. Oh, they didn't give you a bonus, $500,000 on the spot. That's what would happen. Problem is, you're just a good guy. Problem is, yeah, but you know what this guy also did? He did this terrible Avera. Terrible Avera. School is not going to work for you.
If you look in the case of Yaakov Avinu, don't even call a chasadim
ashrasita. Yeah.
The chesed, not Avera he did. Because he went alone and he's going
Okay.
And also it says that someone is going to down for him Nisim and Ifraon Menakim Mina Zechulot Shalom.
Okay. I just want to tell you one other quick, very quick var. I'm just about out of time. One quick var. This Rashi to me is an amazing Rashi for the following reason. It's an incredible Sfas Emes. And this Svasemis ties in perfectly into one of the keynotes we say on Tisha B'Av.
Which Rashi are you talking about?
This, the role we say right now, the Avos and the Imos. It's not a stira to what I'm going to say, but it's a very, just a real eye-opener, this Rashi and the Svasemis. Again, the Gemara says Beferish all over the place, not all over, in a few places. Toma Zuchus Avos. We no longer Bizman Hazeh have Zuchus Avos. We're finished. We're in trouble. It's all over. But Bris Avos we have. Bris Avos is a far cry. A far cry from Zuchus Avos. Zuchus Avos and Bris Avos. Zuchus Avos, whatever that means, is big time stuff. Bris Avos is Shvachamaisis. We have that. Svasemis says, even though it's taka true, we don't have zuchus avos. But bezman hazeh, you're going to tell this to your wife, we have zuchus imohos. How does he know this? He brings a medrash. The medrash says, medaleg al hehorim umekabetz al hagvos. The pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Right? Medalek Hashem skips on the mountains. Umekabetz. Medalek means he skips. And mekabetz means he skips al hagvos. So what does that mean? So it says in the Medrash, and this Mamshman says here in this Rashi, there are two words in this Rashi, and this Pasuk Yud. Ki hehorim, the mountains. The mountains are reference to the avos, the hagvos. The hills. The hills are reference to the imohos. Nice. And what does it say in Shir HaShirim? Hashem is medaleg al hehorim. Now what does it mean to skip? The skip means you walk very, very quickly. There's always 1 foot on the ground in medaleg. Medaleg means like the hop. Hop means whatever it means, but it means you go very, very, you walk very, when your person walks, ruba de ruba, take notice, you always have 2 feet on the ground. Pay attention. When you're walking for a split second, there's always 2 feet on the ground. When you run, watch the Olympics, when you run, you have only 1 foot on the ground at any given point in time. That's called medaleg. Mekabetz means those who jump. They have that in the Olympics? They jump?
Yes, sure.
Okay, you have to jump. Both feet are off the ground. So Hashem says, when I am reminded on the avos, on the mountains, the avos, Hashem says, I'm medalik. I'm going to overlook your sins. I'm not going to keep both feet on the ground. I'll just go forward. I'll move ahead. I will go very quickly. I'll skip. I'll only have 1 foot on the ground. It's an expression meaning I'm going to overlook your chesronos, your averos. But when it comes to the imohos, the gevaos, Hashem says, I'm going to be mekabetz. I'm going to jump. Both feet are going to be lift off the ground. There's going to be a greater degree of rachamim. I'm going to completely forget about everything. Both feet are going to jump off the ground. So the Svasemis says, based upon this, even though we have this idea, Tama Zuchus Avos, explicit in the Gemara, explicit in the Chazal, but it doesn't say anywhere in Chazal, Tama Zuchus Imohos. So the Zuchus Imohos are always with us. Noshim Rachmoni Oseim, Rachel Mevaka Albonecha, Rachel gave over the Simonim to Leah. So Tama Zuchus Avos, but not Zuchus Imohos, and that's what it means, Medaleg Al Hehorin, that's a lower Madrega. But when it comes to the Gvos, Mekane, Al Hagivos. And if you look at the kina, I forgot which kina this is, but look one of the kinas it talks about, Yirmiya. The whole, there are two kinas that go together. I think it's maybe Chav Gimel, Chav Dalit. I don't remember the exact name. There are two kinas which go together, really reverse. What was the story there in the kina? Where Yirmiya, he meets this woman dressed in black. Yeah. That's Tzion personified. And he says, who are you? Are you a demon? Are you a demon or are you a... Or are you all? So he says, no, I am Tzion personified. I'm in mourning because my king has been exiled. My children have been exiled. And the woman says, Yirmiya, go to Hashem and be mispalel for Tzion. Yirmiya goes to Hashem. Hashem says, don't bother me. If you want someone to talk to me, send the avos. I don't want to talk to Yirmiya. Go to the Ma'aris HaMachpelah, send the Avos, let them talk to me. Yirmiyahu goes to Ma'aris HaMachpelah, so who does he speak to? He speaks to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Moshe also. Moshe is not in the Ma'aris HaMachpelah, but Moshe also participates in the conversation. And one after the other, Hashem says, no, they're no good, they're sinners, they did all these terrible averos. Hashem ignores, Hashem openly rejects Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Moshe. And then, the kina is not like what it says in Rashi. The kina then says, what does Yirmiyahu then do? He goes to four women. He goes to Bila, Zilpah. It's very strange. You never know Chazal, you never hear about them. You know, this like, I don't know, maybe I haven't learned all the Midrashim, but like, you know, these are two women. They're like, you know, what happened to them? They fell off the face of the earth. They're the mother of six of the Shvatim. You never hear about them, never. They got married. They're just like, this was the Shifcha. They were switched for Rachel and Leah. You don't hear them doing anything. But in this Kina, they're in action. They're beating their fists on their chests. They're extremely frustrated. Bilah, Zilpah, Rachel and Leah, all four. And Hashem says, I'm going to listen to you. Shuvu vanim. The children will return. The children will return to the menuch. They will return. And in the beginning of the kina, it's what's the beginning of the kina? The beginning begins. Ayei zuchus avos. Yirmiyahu comes to the Ma'aris Machpelah and he gives out a cry. Ayei zuchus avos. And what happens? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Moshe. They go to Hashem. Hashem says, "Get lost. Leave." No more, no zechus avos. I don't want to hear from you. It's too bad, it's going to be Chorban, too bad. And then, Rachel, Leah, Bilah and Zilpah, Barzel, right, we once discussed that, Rosh HaTev was Barzel, those four letters of each name is Barzel, they, Hashem says, oh, for you I'm going to listen. But what do you mean? But Yirmiyahu started out, ayei zechus avos. Hashem said this, no. Zuchus avos tama, but zuchus imahos loy tama, and that's why Hashem indeed did listen to Rachel, Leah, Bilah, and Zilpah. And what does it say here in this pasuk? Now that's the reason why this Rashi blew my mind, is because look at no, it doesn't say it's not a stira. There's no contradiction. There's no kind of loser. What is it? It says over here, ki heharim yumushu, even if.
How about the Sarah and her?
It doesn't say, I don't know the answer. It doesn't say, I don't know. It doesn't say in that kina. I know, I don't know why, but in this kina it doesn't say Sarah. It's a good question. I don't know the answer. It's a good question. Okay, but look in this Rashi. This Rashi is ki heharim yumushu, even. Im tichle, it will come to an end. Zuchus avos v'imohos. Even if that will happen, don't worry. Hashem says, even if there will not be zuchus avos. So it's what's incredible here that it's even a Rashi. See, when I learned the Sfasemes,
I mean, is it the Rashi?
This Rashi pasuk on pasuk yud. When I learned the Sfasemes, so I said to myself, yeah, it's a nice Jewish zuchus avos, zuchus imohos. There's really a chilik between the two. You know, it's a nice little Jewish with the pasuk and shirah shirim of in medalig alahodim mechavis alagvos the gharm the gvos. But l'chayim, if you ask the average person, when it says zuchus avos, that's an all-inclusive term which includes the avos and the imos.
Parents,
right? That's what. But no, you see here, Rashi's on the mark. Rashi mamish is mechalik between the two. Rashi here, talking Rashi, and he learns this pshat in the pasuk. Mamash pshat in the pasuk. Al derech medrash is the Rashi who learns the pesukim. So this is like not a svasemis who lived. How long did svasemis live? 150 years ago, 200 years ago, at the most. I don't know. But he didn't learn Rashi going back over 1,000 years, learning in Chazal. Even if the zuchus afim tichle zuchus avos viimos. Vimos, see Rashi Mamash says this, something called Zuchus Savas, something called Zuchus Imos, doesn't say it's all one thing. Chasti Meitech Lo Yomush will never depart. That's the pasuk. Ki Heharim Yomushu, even if the mountains will disappear, the Avos will go away, there's Zuchus. The Hagvos and the hills, Timutena, do not worry. Do not worry, there'll always be bris. But it doesn't mean in the pasuk that it ever happened. The pasuk is just telling us that even if chas v'shalom there will be an end to zuchus avos and zuchus imahos, do not fear. There will always be chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bris avos. But halacha l'maisa, we never came to that. Halacha l'maisa, we only came to lose the zuchus avos. We never came to lose the zuchus imahos. Yeah. Yeah.
Rashi's, I mean, I hear the drush, but I'll be cautious in Rashi. It says, "Af im tira zuchus avoids v'imahos."
Yeah.
So there is a possibility.
Exactly. No, there is a possibility. There is a possibility, but it doesn't tell us that it has to happen. It doesn't tell us that it has to happen. And that's Shan the Pasuk. The Pasuk, they have two words. The mountains.
Same thing by zuchus avos.
What? No, the Gemara explicitly says that it happens. Yeshaya here is talking, I mean, it's not, this, he's talking about this early in his life, I guess. Yeshaya, time of Chizkiyahu, the Zuchus Avos came to Nehemiah. Yeshaya, that was the very end of his life. That was mamish, the very end of Yeshaya's life, of the time of Chizkiyahu. Yeshaya, the first person, Yeshaya, Bimei Uziyahu, Yosem, Ochaz, Chizkiyahu, Malchay Yehuda, he said Nevuah, Mustama, he said this Nevuah much earlier in his life. At that point in time, there was still Zuchus Avos and Zuchus Imos. Even though Chazal explicitly tell us that Zuchus Avos Tama, they never say the concept that Zuchus Imos Tama, someone would be Yosef. Someone will say, oh, there's no difference between the two. It's all one and the same. You see here from Rashi, that Seydinim, that it's Zuchus Avos, Zuchus Imos. And the Sfasemes says, the Daleg Ale, Hori Mekavitz Ala Gvos, and you've learned Shan Nikina, Mam Shan Nikina, it's gold. It says in the Tevish, that there is something called Zuchus Imos.
With women's livers.
Yes, so you see, we're very liberal here.
Skipping back to Rashi, if I can, guess.
What?
Rashi and Ches.
We won't get any credit for it though. Yeah.
At the Donash who wrote the
yes, that's the notebook.
That's Rashi, right?
That's the Mechuberes. That's Rashi's a contemporary.
Yeah.
He was a how do you say the word? A grammarian?
Grammarian.
Grammarian? A person that's expert in grammar. Yeah.
Yeah,
all over in Chumash. Rashi quotes from Chumash. There's Menachem. There's Menachem,
Dunash,
and
this Dunash.
Dunash, and here's Dunash again, here's Dunash, and then the other ones. Rashi always quotes from the
Darshan, I think was.
What?
Darshan,
yeah, right, Rashi, a lot of you drew from. He quotes the Kalir also, Rashi. Zeshe Yisad HaKalir, the Kalir, the one who wrote the Kinos, all the Piyutim. When did the Kalir live? Big mystery. It's funny, how many people are there in history when there's a disagreement when they live that spans 1,000 years? Go talk about someone secular in the secular world.
Played
a what?
800, I think. The 800s, huh?
It's eight. There's a 1,000-year disagreement as to when he lived. And there are riots, mamish, the Kalir, Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir, the one who composed most of the piyutim that Ashkenazic Jewry recites throughout the year. Most of the piyutim that we have come from the Kalir. Most of the kinos come from the Kalir. Like half of them come from the Kalir. When did he live? So there are clear rios that he lived over a 1,000-year period of time. Is there any such person? And no one is not. There's no answer. Is there any such person? How many people can you famous people in the history? Famous people in history that they have a question of over 100-year period. We're not sure exactly when the beginning and the end. 1,000 years. It's like, wow, one of a kind, such a type of person where he's so great, he's had so much influence, it's so much part of our lives, and we're dealing with a relatively modern period of history. We're not dealing over here time of the Avos, dealing over here, dealing with time of the Tanoim, through the time of, I guess, the Rishonim, the Goyim. The time that it spans is from the Tanoim through the Goyim of Haigoyim, which is 1,000 years, and we can't figure out when he lived. It's mind-boggling. Because in the secular world, there's no such thing. All the famous secular philosophers and people that had major impact on the world, we know when they lived. We know when they lived, certain, but not the kind. Okay, let's stop.
Because Taisvis puts him as the Tana Rebbe
was,
but he doesn't bring proof for it.
But Taisvis says it. Taisvis says it has to. I mean, there has to be something to it.
The God scroll rejected and then returned to it.
They returned to it. Okay, it's complicated. A very good treatment of this, the best one, in the Kinos HaMeforash. It's a very popular, probably the most popular Hebrew Kinos. So there he has, from what I've seen, the best Kinois HaMefoirash. I think it's by Rav Yaakov Ellinger. It's probably the most popular Hebrew kinos in the world. There is, so they probably sell like water. It's like a sitter. And there in the Hakdama, he really goes through it better than I've seen anywhere else. Better than the Encyclopedia Judaica, better than all of the secular sources. He presents mamish every single opinion that he can dig up on when he lived. Not everyone. I've heard some things from Shachter. He has some very interesting ideas. And he lived Rios, very clear Rios. He lived very late. Very late, time of the Kaleir. And a lot of these things are mamish Ruach HaKodesh. We discussed this. Kina HaKharishi, we discussed this in the Kinos. HaKharishi, so he had mamish Ruach HaKodesh. The things that he wrote have played out much later. The Kaleir, Eliezer HaKaleir. Okay, we'll stop here.